I'm Jackie Vetrano from Skidmore College.
And I'm Logan Bishop from Belmont University. You're listening to Higher Ed Social.
Welcome to the show. I'm sure Logan has already started recording.
Yes.
So we always ask our guests to start, obviously, by introducing themselves, because sometimes we forget to do that, and that's very important. So why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself, however you'd like.
Sure. So my name is Ben Osborne. I'm the social media coordinator at the University of Adelaide, which is in South Australia, which is in the middle of Australia down the bottom. So if you're looking at a map, we're in the middle, down the bottom, roughly, I'm trying to think of the equivalent US state, sort of Texas type of area, down the bottom in the middle, along that area, except there's ocean underneath us and not other countries. So we're a long way away from anywhere in Australia. The University of Adelaide is part of we call it kind of the Ivy League of Australian universities. We call it the Group of Eight. So we're research intensive, very, take ourselves very seriously in many ways, you know, elite, prestigious, sandstone, kind of like the Russell Group in the UK, if you're familiar with that as well. So we're the only university in our state of South Australia that's part of the Group of Eight. So that's our point of difference, I suppose, if you like. But there's about, I think there's about 39, 40 universities in total across Australia. There's not many at all when you look at the US. So it's, the market is much smaller in many ways, but it's still reasonably competitive.
Yeah. How many students do you have on your campus?
It's probably somewhere in the order of 27,000, something like that. And I think it's probably close to 20,000 undergraduate and about 7,000 postgraduate. We have a strong mix of international students, and that's sort of around the 25 to 30% mark, roughly. So we draw, there's quite a few international students on campus, which is great. I think it's somewhere in the order of 100 different countries that we have students from. So if you walk around campus, you're exposed to a wide range of people from all sorts of backgrounds, which is really cool, actually. I think it makes the job that little bit more interesting.
It does.
That is.
And that's
is it a four-year? Oh, go ahead.
If compared to schools here in the U.S., that's a good size school.
It's huge. I'm here with 2,500 students on my campus, so
we have close to 8,000. Both of our schools are small private universities. If you consider like Middle Tennessee State, which is just down the road, they're probably in the 20 to 25,000 range.
Yeah. Okay. So I think we've got, there's two other main universities in our city. So the state of South Australia has about $1.4 million people who each have $1 each. So we have $1.4 million. So there's about 1.4 million in the state, and there's three universities. Adelaide is the major metropolis. There's a few other regional and rural towns. I grew up in one of those rural and regional towns. But Adelaide is by far the biggest part of South Australia, and there's three universities. The other two also have reasonable sizes. One, I think, is Flinders University. That's not quite as big as the other two, and the University of South Australia is a bigger than us again, so they have more students. So it's a pretty competitive scene, but all three universities are really, really good, we think. So the Australian education system is Higher education system is pretty strong, really. I think one of the big differences that I think I notice is that it's one of those things where if you grow up, you don't leave town to go to university. You often, most Australian kids go to the university in the town that they grew up in. So the non-overseas students are people who are born in Australia, the three quarters or so who do, then most of them would come from Adelaide. And it's not that same sort of rite of passage where you go away to university and live on campus, and those sorts of things don't don't happen nearly as much in Australian universities, which is, you know,
it's different.
Just different. I don't think it's good or better. It's better or worse. I think it's just different. So it's just a different kind of scene here. So you don't go and go back to your accommodation at nighttime. You go back to your home and you live with your mum and dad and those sorts of things. So it's just that it's that little bit different, which is why we can do things like, you know, take a photo of your pet, whereas you probably don't have many pets on your on campus accommodation. But when you go home, your dog that you grew up with is at home. So that's why we can try and do those sorts of things to capitalize on, you know, students who live at home.
Australian students must have much better relationships with their parents than American students.
I didn't say that.
I don't think I would. I love my parents. They love me, but I don't know if we could have done it living together for those.
No, I didn't say that I enjoyed it. I think it's always a matter of necessity, certainly an economic necessity, you know, to stay at home as long as you can. Right. It's a lot cheaper than
Jackie and I both went to school within 2 hours of home, though. So we didn't go that far.
Yeah, but having my own room and my own space, you know, being away, at least, I mean, it was only an hour, but an hour is enough.
just far enough to where they can't just come whenever, but enough to go home for the weekend.
An hour is close enough for them to come whenever, because my mother did just show up once when I was sick my freshman year. I told her I was sick, and then within an hour and a half, she showed up, and I did not ask her to be there. So if you can't get away from my mom, she'll follow me forever, even if I went to Australia. So
it's because she cares.
It is. It could be much worse. Actually, it's funny you said that, Ben, because the reason why I found you was because I saw you tweeted about an adorable campaign that you did for the university where you asked students to show their pets. And I actually was going to ask you about this, but you answered my question of like, how did you get so many students to send you pets? Because like they're at school, but now it makes sense that most all of them are living at home.
Mm. So the background to that is I think there's a rule about show business where you never work with kids and animals, but I think certainly social media, the opposite is true. I think if you can work with kids and animals, it often gets more eyeballs. So we were mindful of that. It was also the timing was quite deliberate because at the moment we're going through exams. So we're halfway through our year,
you're coming up on winter break now, right?
Yeah, so our mid-year break happens almost soon. We just finished off our last week of exams this week here at the University of Adelaide. So, our academic year runs calendar years. It starts in about March and finishes in about November. So we're sort of halfway through at the moment.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah,
so when we did that post, it was the classes finish and then they have a week with no classes and no exams, which we call SWATVAC, but study leave, or you get a week off uni to prepare for exams, and then you go into exams. And in that week, we decided that we wanted to do something to show to our students that we understood that it's a stressful time of year, but if you are doing it with you're revising for exams and doing it with your pet at home, it can be a little bit less stressful. And just to show that the uni understood that, I think was one of the motivating factors for us to do that post. Often at exam time, Instagram feeds, we see our students with their cats or their dogs saying, you know, here's my friend Ralph or Fred, and he's helping me study. And I'd sort of tuck that away. And this year we decided to do something about it and sort of be a bit more proactive and go out there and solicit, if you like. Some photos. We actually did it in two parts. So the first part was I got to bring my dog in from home. I've got two Labradors, and I brought in a Labrador into the university. So some students come into university to study because it's, you know, what they're used to and what they like to do. And so we went around with my dog giving out free pets, and we did that on Snapchat. So we covered that live on Snapchat and said, we're on campus now, so come along, have a pet. And we gave out some chocolates while we're doing that, just as a nice thing to do for students who are at university. But if you weren't at university that day, and a lot of them weren't because they're at home studying, getting ready for exams, then the call to action was, now that you've seen a pet on campus, you know, show us your pet off campus. And, you know, we were really, really happy with the result. We did it on Facebook, you know, in a much more public arena, if you like. And then also on Snapchat, but we got a much better response and a better quality of photo on Facebook. They put a bit more time and effort in on Facebook. Snapchat's right. much more ephemeral, and they were much more, what's the word, rough and ready with the snaps. Yeah. But the Facebook right. photos, some of them were they're really interesting. And, you know, the range of pets was astonishing. I just thought it was going to be, you know, 50% dogs, 49% cats, and 1% other. But I think it was you know, a bit better than that. There was a few interesting creatures running around.
Yeah, like, I'm just looking at the Facebook post now, and I just saw a chicken doing stats. And yes. there is, what did I just see? A lorikeet, which I've never heard of.
It's kind of like a parrot, Australian parrot, pretty. I suppose. Yeah, so they're very pretty. Probably the mm-hmm. favorite one, which we didn't get on Facebook, which we got on Snapchat, and has now been, it's gone forever. But there was a very large lizard. So, like in Australia, they're called blue tongue lizards. And it's the middle of our winter, so lizard, you don't see these types of lizards at the moment because they're hibernating or they're, you know, trying to keep warm. Right. Mm-hmm. But this, I had this blue tongue lizard. It'd probably be. The really big ones would be, you know, up to 10 inches long, and it was sitting on her laptop keyboard keeping warm, and she sent us a snap of her lizard. Like this, it's a big lizard. Like, it's not a little tiny lizard. It's a pretty chunky lizard just sitting on her keyboard keeping warm. That was easily our favorite one. We also
typically a cat thing.
Yeah, that's normally a cat thing. We incentivized the competition, so we had some, you know, the local bookstore, we gave away some vouchers as well, and that always helps. So when we give students free things, free book vouchers or free food or whatever, then we finally get a better response as well. Mm-hmm. But I think with that one, we would have got a good response, I think, because people just like showing off their pets.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, this is such, I'm just, you know, reading all these comments, and they're all happening, like, the whole day. People yeah. are commenting. It wasn't just, you know, for a couple hours. That's awesome. I almost want to try this over the summer when our students go home and see yeah. like what happens.
Just I was thinking about that too.
Show
that
would us be your pet.
Kind of awesome.
I'd submit a picture of my cat if I could.
Yeah, okay. Students in our Facebook groups do that. They already post pictures of their pets, especially in. Our 2021 group, they've posted a lot, so it's pretty cool.
No, it's one of those, I think, one of those bonds you have at any age. Like, you're just attached to your pet, and you think your pet is the best looking pet in the world, and you want yeah. everyone to see it. And
yeah,
we sort of play on it is not the right word, but we knew that's what our students were thinking, and it was a popular thread, and it sort of definitely exceeded our expectations. I was quite surprised how well it works. I think we have a pretty engaged community anyway. And I think this just sort of solidified that in my mind, that they're happy to see the university be interested in them at this time of year, because it is a stressful time of year, and mm-hmm. Exams aren't pleasant. So just the fact that the uni understands that, I think, goes a long way to helping build that sort of sense of community.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, it's so pretty cute. Amazing. It's funny that there are a very small number of people who posed with their pet. They're just like, here's my cat on my printer. Funny. Are there any other, do you have any other fun social media plans up your sleeve now that you're coming on break?
No, it's funny, because I think when they're on break, they really don't think about university. They stay away, and they're either, you know, they've got some really bad results and don't want to hear from the university at all. So we try and stay out of their space, I think, in holidays, and sort of recognize that it's, you know, it's a relationship, but sometimes you need to spend time away from the other person and mm-hmm. Just have be in your own space for a little bit. So we're always after it's that treading that fine line between always doing fun stuff, but also trying to, you know, communicate other important messages that we want them to hear, and other, you know, parts of our overall, you know, marketing strategy and who we are as a university, and making a fun mix of, you know, things like that. So probably the next thing that we're looking forward to is graduations. We have two lots of that in a year, and we had one in April and May, mm-hmm. and we have another one in September. So that's probably we welcome a new batch of students for the start of the second half of the year, and then we also have graduations in September, or commencement, sorry. So that's
it's okay.
We call it commencement too. So
Yeah, so it's I really enjoy. I think it's very easy when you're at a university and you just the day in day out slog, but then you come to commencement, you see how happy not only the students are, but their families, and how much it means to them. And I think you see very few unhappy people at commencement, and it's kind of gratifying in a way. It's sort of you realise that actually it is a major milestone in young people's lives.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say the content, any content we do around commencement often gets, you know, heavy traction or heavier traction just because of that feel good factor. And it's one of those unique things about university. It's that graduation experience. You can't get it anywhere else. It's a nice thing to highlight as part of the university calendar, I suppose.
Yeah, those are graduations. We have three. In December, May, and August. And I think that those days plus welcome week and move-in day, those are probably my favorite times of the year. Because you see them at two different points in their lives. You see them as they're making the leap away from home, and you see them, you know, making the leap to life or grad school or whatever they have after. It always re-energizes me for the slog that happens typically right after. So, it's crazy, but it's fun, and you're right. It's a really great feeling.
Yeah, it is. And it's kind of, it's hard to, the venue that we do it at, I know a lot of universities have one big event and that's it. But the venue that we have it on, we do it on campus, and we do it in our sort of very old hall that only seats a certain number of people. So we can only have a certain number of graduates or people graduating each ceremony. And that makes it much more intimate is the word that we use. So you're in this very packed hall with lots of other people, but it means we have lots of ceremonies. So they stretch over like seven business days. They take about a week and a half.
Wow. To get to
it's 2 days, like for a week. So it's really busy time of year for us.
As well as ours is one day with two ceremonies.
Yeah. How do you not get like super burnt out? I would be so over it by like the third commencement ceremony.
I was going to say by the 10th or the 12th one, I'm probably less eager than I was at the first or the second one, but that's only natural.
I imagine they're a lot shorter though.
They are. They only go for like an hour or something like that. So
ours are two and a half.
Yeah, that's right. So it's six of one and a half dozen of the other, in the sense of, yeah, I think sometimes I wish we just had the one mega event and it was just over and done in one day. But at the same time, it's nice. It's a really nice venue to do it in. And it's the only place that we hold our graduation ceremony sort of, and we don't do too much else in that hall. Like, it's really reserved for graduations with a few other bits and pieces that we do during the year. But really, it's a pretty special place to do it. So it carries a lot of emotional, energy with it if you get to walk across the stage there. So, it's definitely something that we're looking forward to.
So how do they break up the graduations? Is it by college or by probably even smaller than that? By department?
Yeah, basically. Yes, by department, roughly. So we call them, and this is where the terminology starts getting confusing, but we call our little departments faculties. So it's the Faculty of Arts or the Faculty of Health Sciences. And then within those, one day it'll be medicine, but then the next day it'll be dentistry. So they'll all, in the morning it'll be medicine, and in the afternoon it'll be dentistry, and they sort of break them down like that. So you graduate with your colleagues. If you went through medicine together, you'll graduate together. Right. So we don't do it alphabetically or anything like that. Like there is a pattern.
That's interesting.
That's nice though. I mean, it's nice that you're not just breaking them up, alphabetically or whatever.
No, that's right. Any way you do it, it's logistically very difficult. I think that's the best way to do it. Out of a lot of not great ways to do it, but that's the way we choose to do it. We could do it at a neutral venue, somewhere away from campus, but it just wouldn't quite be the same.
Right.
We did that.
Is it's very common, especially here at Skidmore, being a liberal arts institution. So students are taking all different types of classes. They're often double or triple majoring, or they have a different minor. So I'm thinking if we were to even break up students by their academic major, I know there'd be hundreds of students that are like, well, I'm a dance major and a chem major. You know, where do I graduate? Is that common, or are students strictly kind of in one department?
No, that's a really, we have a lot of what we call double degrees, where you can study, you get a Bachelor of Finance and a Bachelor of Engineering. And often it's a name degree, so it's a double degree of such and such. So they, in a program that gets read out as graduate with a Bachelor of Arts and a Bachelor of Finance, but they only cross the stage once. So you get both pieces of paper, but they read it out. They say, oh, you majored in such and such and such and such. So most times you only cross the stage once and get,
right.
But you'll get multiple bits of, you get multiple degrees. During your one crossing, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But I don't know how they decide whether you're in the finance graduation or commencement ceremony or in the engineering commencement ceremony. And that part, I leave that to the experts.
Yeah, you don't have to deal with that.
That's something I've always wondered too, because while we have two ceremonies, everyone is broken down by college. So there are people that are in two different colleges. Maybe they got a degree in marketing and a degree in music business. So which is which? And I think it's a student preference, but I'm not 100% sure. Yeah. That's a question to ask the registrar's office one day.
Oh. Yeah, I'm glad I'm not on that side of it. But at Skidmore, we only have one ceremony. So it makes it pretty simple. And the students get to, then we pretty much just split them up when they process in by Bachelor of Arts or Bachelor of Science, but other than that, they kind of can do whatever they want.
Yeah.
And they read the degree. I can't remember. I don't think they read the degree of the student as they cross. I think it's just the name, and then if they graduated like cum laude or summa cum laude.
Yeah, their degree is listed in the program for us.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they're in each college alphabetically, so...
Oh, that, see, you don't let them sit with their friends. I think that's the most fun part. It's like how at Adelaide, you graduate with your cohort.
You do, Belmont also gives you your diploma. So, you know, your actual diploma as you walk across the stage. So that's the reason why they do it the way they do it.
Yes. So within the cohort of medicine students, let's say you would be seated alphabetically. So you may not get, they're very, they like to read the names out in order as they appear in the program. So when you come and sit down, you get a program, and you know, Aaron Aardvark is going to walk across the stage first, and Zoe Zebra is going to cross the stage last, and that's so you might get. But the order is very important in terms of if they read the names out and they read out the wrong name, and you walk across the stage, and you know they haven't called your name out, then it causes chaos. So they're very.
Hey, I'm always jealous of the person. At the end, because at Belmont, like, we cheer for everyone.
Yeah.
Like, everyone, like, the family gets to cheer for the student as they go across the stage. So when the last person goes across, like, everybody cheers for the last person. And it's, like, the only time in the lives of people that have, you know, the last name Z or Y that people, like, going last is awesome. So I always think that that's funny.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get over the fact that you have like multiple days worth of commencement.
Well, it's something like, I think this year it was something like, it's in the order of, well over 3,500 people who graduated. So, but you know, you divide that down by 12 ceremonies and it's 300 people per ceremony. So it sounds like a lot of people when it is, but it's broken down. When you do it down into those sort of smaller nuggets, if you like, of 300 people per ceremony, then it becomes each ceremony is quite small, an hour long. It just, if you did 3,000 in one go, it would take 12 hours. So it's full on. Like it's really busy, but it's fun. If it was, you know, drudgery and just, you know, your day-to-day, it wouldn't be as exciting. But graduations are such a special, fun time that you sort of you keep getting up for it.
I am kind of jealous, I guess, if I think of weather-wise. Like, so March and November are probably pretty mild there, right?
So February is late summer for us, and February is probably almost the hottest month of the year, it seems. Welcome week? We call it orientation week, or O week, we abbreviate it to, and that's the week to get ready for uni, basically. And that's often, it's really hot in that week.
Same here.
And so that can be quite warm. Then your graduation ceremony is in April and May, so that's heading into winter. So it's in the middle of autumn, and can be a little bit rainy. September is often not too bad, so we're in the middle of spring in our September. So the weather-wise, it's not too bad. The venue that we hold in is a lovely grand old hall, but once you walk outside, there's no cover. So if it's raining, you get wet, basically. So that's not ideal. And a lot of people get really dressed up, is what you notice. And so it's not good. It's not ideal if you come out in your finest clothes and it's raining and there's no place to go quickly. So
it's never nice, you know, like here during graduation. It's always – so ours is in December, which is – like freezing cold, and then May, which
isn't really freezing cold in the real world, just in Tennessee.
Whatever. And then
I'm in New York, where it gets to -5 in the winter.
My point is, it's cold. And then, of course, summer though, whether it's August, May commencement, it's already, you know, getting hot, and then by August that's the hottest time of the year, or up in the hundreds sometimes. And that's also move in, so always have lots of water, because Belmont, we unload all the freshmen, so they drive up in front of their dorm, and then a team of like 10 people comes and unloads their car and takes all their stuff to their room. So I did that once, and I'm probably never going to do it again. Because there's nothing quite like carrying a refrigerator up a flight of stairs in, you know, when it's like 90 degrees out. So,
and it's a complete stranger. Like, this is someone you've never met before.
Right.
Yep. Someone I've never met before. poor freshman. Not really. I mean, it's part of our big welcome to them. We want them to feel, you know.
That's a really nice thing to do. And I think that sense of that sense of spirit when you go to a US uni is something that I think obviously the US unis do, the universities do really well, and I think Australia's that little bit different because you're just not in that close proximity all the time to your, because we don't have those dorm rooms, certainly not at the University of Adelaide. Like you literally go home, or you come in, you park your car and you drive home again, or you catch the bus home again, and it's just that little bit, it's just a different.
So you guys don't have residence halls?
No, not really. We have accommodation, which is nearby, and we do have some students who come from interstate or, you know, outside of Adelaide, and overseas students as well. It's some, but it wouldn't be a huge percentage. It would be, in the hundreds. Oh, no, possibly. By the time you have a few hundred there and here and there, it'd be, you know, but it's certainly not anywhere near a quarter, I wouldn't have thought, or even close to that. Like it's just not.
Our students,
Our
students are required to live on campus until they've reached 60 credit hours. So they're freshmen and sophomore years. And you can, if you live near Nashville, if you live within like 30 miles of the university, you can apply for a waiver so you can stay at home. But if you think about it, though, considering how expensive it is to live in Nashville right now, it's actually probably cheaper to live on campus sometimes, at least to live near campus. I mean, it's, if you go out a little bit farther away from the city and kind of the more, into the boroughs around, it's a little cheaper, but if you live where Belmont is, it's pretty expensive. So we have about 3,000, 3,500, something like that, students that live on campus. Right now, and we're building a brand new like 12-story residence hall. So, wow. To accommodate more students, should they want to live on campus longer. So that'll be nice.
I think it's something that, I think our university will be definitely interested in is providing more on-campus accommodation. It just makes sense for a lot of reasons. So I think it's one of those things that we would, like to get to as a university at some stage.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you guys are huge. It's going to take a lot of residence halls.
We wouldn't put all of our students in there. I think they would refuse. All the ones who live in Adelaide just be like, nah, I'm going home. I'll see you guys tomorrow.
Well, that's why I was going to say when you were talking about like school spirit. When you're in high school, applying to college has become such a big deal. And it's like, you know, where are you going? And it kind of like becomes this big opportunity to like take on whatever you want to take on, wherever you want to take it on. But it sounds like your students are it's just the next thing. Like they're going from their high school experience. They're all staying. You said they all stay close. Like it's so interesting that college is not this, it feels not as big, I guess.
I think there's a fair element of truth to that in the sense of, it's just that sense of rite of passage of leaving home and becoming, you know, the adult that you're going to be. Right. I think that still happens. And I think your point, Logan, before about when you look at university students, when they start compared to when they finish, the amount of growing up that they do is pretty amazing. And I think a lot happens in those 4 years, whether you leave home or not. I think you're just exposed to just so many more different points of view, and you learn a lot more about the world around you and all those sorts of things that university offers. And I think that definitely still happens here in Australia. It just happens in a different way, I think. And certainly you're right, in Adelaide, if you go to high school in Adelaide, you very rarely apply to go interstate to study at university. You most often stick around and stay at home. So it's just the way it is at the moment. I think it's probably getting, I think we're getting a little bit more of that leaving home. And certainly Adelaide is not one of the bigger cities in Australia. Melbourne and Sydney are the two big ones, and they have a lot more universities, and they're probably seen as more vibrant, fun international cities to go and live in, and it's probably more of a thing for Adelaide students to go and do that than the other way around. Although we would say that we would like to think that you would hope to come and study here in Adelaide, but it's not really a massive thing for Australian universities to try and recruit from interstate. They're much more interested in recruiting students from their home cities. That's where the bulk of the market lies.
So interesting.
Yes.
I had no idea. I've learned so
You're actually
much.
Our first international.
Yes.
Like.
Oh, that's such an honor. I'm very excited about that.
And so, you know, we didn't do something easy like Canada or Mexico, one of our bordering countries. We decided to go all the way across the world. So we're excited.
Well, that's about all the time we have for the show today. I really wanted to thank you, Ben, because we really had to adjust things this recording because time zones are a thing.
I'm pretty sure you
live in
ahead.
Tomorrow right now.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just, yes. So we're at the end of our day Tuesday, and I think you're just at the start of your day Tuesday. Yeah. So,
yep. Well, we really appreciate it. And listeners, head down to highered.social and get links to the stuff we talked about today. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher. And if you like the show, please give us a review. It helps folks find us, and it's awesome. And we love the feedback. Also, don't forget to follow us on Twitter at HES Podcast. We love getting tweets from you, so tweet us there, and also get updates for the show. And also let us know if you want to be on the show. So thanks again, Ben.
Yeah, thanks, Ben.
Thank you, Jackie. Thank you, Logan. I appreciate it.
Have a great week.